This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Everyone has absorbed the lesson of the 2000 presidential election. In 50-50 America, every vote counts. With so many minds apparently made up well in advance this time around, the campaigns are working what is usually regarded as stony ground. In past years, college students were recruited to stuff envelopes and ring doorbells, but got little attention as voters because history tells us that 25 to 18-year-olds don't turn out in big numbers on Election Day. According to a national poll released last week by Harvard University's Institute of Politics, that may change. 62% say they will definitely vote in November 2004. That's up from 50% 4 years ago. And a significant percentage of those young voters is still undecided. Later in the program, author Bruce Feiler joins us to talk about the ancient land he was not able to describe in Walking the Bible, Iraq. But first, the college vote. If you're a student, call and tell us whether your campus is noticeably more active this political season. What are the issues? Are any of the parties making an effort to get your vote? And if so, how are you and your fellow students responding? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Former Secretary of Agriculture Dan Glickman is Director of the Institute of Politics at Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government. Last week, the Institute issued its semi-annual survey on the political views of America's college students, and he's with us from our bureau in Chicago. Secretary Glickman, thanks very much for joining us today.
I'm glad to be with you, Neil.
So do you think young people this year are going to defy that conventional wisdom?
I do. To use the imagery, you talked about the stony ground of politics. As the former Secretary of Agriculture, I know a little bit about fertile ground. And I think that the ground is fertile for a lot greater involvement by young people in politics, particularly college students. The numbers show that the interest level is up. The participation level in the caucuses during the Democratic primaries and caucus season was higher than expected, largely among younger people. The participation on the Republican side is also higher. I think what we've got, as you said, is we have a 50-50 nation. The country is deeply divided, and there's more and more attention to these voting blocks that haven't necessarily produced a lot of votes in the past. And the younger vote is one of those.
We mentioned that 62% of the students you surveyed said they definitely plan to vote last November. That's up from 50% 4 years ago. Was that 50% the number who said they were going to vote or the number that actually turned out?
That was above the number of college students who voted in the last election was actually ended up to be about 55%, but the 62% is about 12 points above those who said they were going to vote.
And at this point in the surveying cycle, who do they say they're going to vote for?
Well, right now the trends have shifted to Senator Kerry, who leads President Bush by about 10 points. But I would point out that the numbers are still very, very soft because nearly 40% of those who back Senator Kerry do not know very much about him, cannot give any identifying details. So I think that since October, there has been some trending of younger and college voters towards the Democratic side, maybe because of the war in Iraq, maybe because of perhaps we're getting close to the summer where there are jobs that are people are worried about, the anxiety over getting employed. But the numbers are still very, very soft, and they're very movable, and there's a great opportunity on behalf of both political parties here.
I was going to ask you, though, about the issues that seem to be important to these students.
Well, you know, Iraq, terrorism, all that's involved with the war is certainly something that's on people's minds. It's not like it was maybe 30 and 40 years ago during the Vietnam era, because we don't have a draft now, and therefore most students on college campuses have not been personally affected by themselves being worried about being called up, although they may have friends and relatives who are in that mode. Although I did happen to notice that just yesterday, I think it was Senator Hagel said the country had to start thinking about that. And I think if that were to happen, you'd have a massive increase of involvement of young people on college campuses in the issues of the war in Iraq and international terrorism. But clearly those issues concern people. The jobs issues, there's great worry and concern and the anxiety about getting jobs after the college experience. And then, interestingly, a lot of the social issues, gay rights, for example, has turned out to be a much larger issue among younger voters than it is in the population as a whole, where we detect a much more tolerant attitude towards gay marriage and civil unions among younger voters than we do among the population as a whole.
And are they more in favor of gay marriage?
That's correct. And they're more apt to disapprove the president's policies on social issues than perhaps the population as a whole would likely to do. So, you know, right now what you've got is it looks to me like you have a swing back among college students. And again, we're talking about college students, not all young people, but college students only. Although the survey was done nationally, it's all over America, public schools, private schools. And but you have a trending back towards a slight Democratic edge among those students that has been occurring since October.
Well, we're going to be checking in with a couple of campuses in swing states a little bit later in the program, but we want to hear from you as well. Give us a call and tell us what's happening, if anything, at your school. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. Let's begin with Chris, who's on the line with us from Tallahassee, Florida, certainly one of those swing states, Chris.
You bet it is. Hi.
Hi.
I'm actually a little bit out of your target audience. I'm a high school junior, but we've still been seeing a fair amount of, I guess you could say, activity, just in town among high school students.
And it's junior in high school, what, you're 17?
Yes, I am.
So still a little too young to vote.
A little too young, but unfortunately I'm turning 18 in October, and I've pre-registered already, so hopefully I'll be able to cast my ballot in November.
And when you say you see more going on there in Tallahassee, like what?
Well, I guess ever since what happened in 2000, and you know, it being Florida, there's been a fair focus on, I guess, the whole Get Out the Vote campaign. A bunch of kids in my school have gone through the pre-registration process where that you filled the form to get your registration card mailed to you on your birthday. And especially just at my particular school, the social studies department is really, you know, trying to get the message out to kids to get involved.
And is it partisan on either side?
Well, you know, we are teenagers, and for the most part, we do, just as teenagers, we tend to have some leftist tendencies, but I know a fair amount of kids who are actually pretty conservative in their viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to whether or not somebody say, oh, well, you should sign up to join the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. No, not really. They don't really seem to care what party you register for as long as you register.
Okay, Chris, thanks very much.
Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it. Secretary Glickman, one of the things your survey found was that a lot of the students you talk to don't seem to break down along those traditional left-right political spectrum.
Yes, it's very interesting. In fact, they tend to resist these labels of whether it's party labels or like Republican and Democrat or labels like liberal or conservative. I mean, in a sense, you see a large number of young people, well over half, who in most respects identify as being independent. They may have slightly more liberal or conservative views on economic or social issues, but by and large, they have not been pigeonholed into a political party. And as a matter of fact, they are kind of turned off by the appeals of both political parties to their groups. But at the same time, the parties cannot avoid them. You know, what we learned in the last election was every vote, certainly in Florida, but every vote in the country counts. And, you know, all you need to do is to look at the closeness of the races in all of these targeted states and look at this. Millions of young voters, particularly college voters, who are more likely to vote than young voters generally. And you have enough people in this mix to influence the next election.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Rohan, who's with us from Salt Lake City.
Hi there. I'm a student at the University of Utah, and I kind of get the feeling from the media that, you know, they portray students as kind of being somewhat apathetic, but I think cynicism kind of translates into that, because a lot of us don't believe that the our votes do count. We have an antiquated electoral system that basically makes a whole state go to one party or the other, you know, which further perpetuates our dual-party system right now. And so if every single Democrat turned out in Utah, which is decidedly Republican, we still would not, you know, 32,000 Democrats would not make a bit of a difference to the election, and that's exactly what happened with our last election in 2000. People blamed Ralph Nader, but what he actually did is, you know, he took votes away from the Democrats, and so the Democrats accused him of taking votes away, but ultimately it was a game of the electoral system.
So you think that there, if it were electoral reform and every vote counted equally, no matter which state you were voting in, people might be a little bit more energized there in Utah?
Absolutely. I mean, we look at all the states that are either decidedly Democrat or Republican. Ultimately, those states go over to the party that has the most registered voters to turn out. And here in Utah, if every single Democrat turned out for the election, ultimately their vote won't count anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If I may just respond to that, I understand it. I come from Kansas, which is a roughly parallel state politically to Utah. But you also, not only are you electing a president, you're electing governors, congressmen, senators, state legislators, and all sorts of other officers. And I suspect there are a fair number of both political parties in Utah like there are in Kansas. I happen to agree with you. If I were king or president or whatever, I would move to elect the president and abolish the Electoral College. That's my own personal perspective. But barring that from happening, I still think that there are great opportunities for younger voters all over this country to flex their muscles and show that they count. And it's the best way to get you're able to present your positions on issues that way. You know, if you don't engage, it's a lot more difficult for politicians to listen to you talk about your views on the war or the economy or anything else.
Absolutely, I agree, and I have a lot of faith in local elections because they're not based on a electoral system, but no one seems to be taking issue on the national arena of this antiquated system that was designed to give small states and big states equal power, which really doesn't matter anymore.
Then I would think maybe you could lead a national effort among young people nationwide to try to abolish the Electoral College.
Rohan, thanks very much, and good luck with that.
Thank you. Bye now.
Here's an email we have from Seth at the University of Minnesota. I have noticed that many students at my school, the University of Minnesota, say they are more active in politics and that they'll vote. The only problem is that most of them are not thinking about it objectively. They take everything they hear on The Daily Show as the truth. And if not that, they simply vote for who their parents vote for. They just don't take their own standpoint on the issue.
Well, you know, I actually give young people more credit than that. It's tougher when you've got a world that's so fractionated in terms of the hundreds of different media outlets, and the internet also involves a lot of different sources of information. But the truth of the matter is that there is a great opportunity to influence the country. Now, let's take a young person now who may be 20 or 21 or 22 years old, who's looking at the situation in Iraq and thinking to themselves, well, what can I do, whether to support the president or oppose the president? And what I tend to find is that people are making up their own minds. But the trick is to get the politicians to, in fact, engage the younger voters, so to make them feel that they're important enough to participate in the American political process. And we'll see this coming election may be the first time in a long time where you see the major political parties in this country and the major candidates actually give attention to the younger voter. Right now, they give a lot of attention to the voters who vote in big numbers, older voters, senior citizens, farmers, veterans groups, small business people, and those all deserve attention. But there is this big pocket of about 10 million college voters, many of whom vote, but many of whom don't vote, that could actually influence the next election.
And, of course, marketers of all sorts, the political parties hope to mold their political opinions and party habits early in life and maybe get them voting Republican or Democrat or independent forever and ever, on and on. We'll be back with more with the former Secretary of Agriculture, Dan Glickman, and talking about the youth vote. We'll also be checking in on a couple of college campuses with journalists there in a couple of swing states. We want to hear from you as well. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can also send us email, TOTN@NPR.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about whether interest in politics is heating up on America's college campuses. Our guest is Dan Glickman, the director of the Institute of Politics at Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government. He is the former Secretary of Agriculture back in the Clinton administration. Before that, a congressman from the state of Kansas. Are you a college student? If so, how politically active are you? For those students who aren't, why not? Join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And we're going to get a snapshot of what's happening on a couple of college campuses in swing states from college journalists. Dwayne Robinson joins us first. He's a junior at the University of Florida in Gainesville. He covers politics for his school's newspaper, The Independent Florida Alligator, and he joins us from his office there. Thanks very much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure.
So you've heard what the survey says. How does that square with the what you're seeing there at the University of Florida?
I think it's definitely true that most students here are Kerry supporters, are Democrats, but it's not that everyone at the University of Florida, you know, is Democrat or for Kerry. In covering events, I realize there are a lot of students who do support Bush and who are looking at issues. Iraq is an important issue, but there's also, you know, tuition increases that are happening and cuts in grants and loans for students that are also going to be major factors in this election.
And are you seeing a lot of political activity on campus?
Definitely. From about January to February, we had local elections, which really sparked a lot of the, you know, registered to vote campaigns. We had Declare Yourself here on campus. Project Democracy is a new group that's, you know, come here to University of Florida, and they've been, registering thousands of students here at the University of Florida.
And is either party active, or perhaps Mr. Nader's campaign as well, in reaching out to students there?
With Nader's campaign, I'm not familiar, but I know that the College Democrats and the College Republicans are active. They've been at a popular intersection here, holding up signs on a number of days. They've also been trying to register students to vote. And just the other day, they started one of a series of debates they're having, sort of mock debates between the two groups to sort of get students interested in the issues and the candidates for the November election.
Is this different from previous years?
Yeah, that has never been the case before where they had these debates. This is something new that they're trying to get students interested, to get out the vote. Because even though, students tend to be liberal, college Republicans are saying, you know, they're not giving anything a chance. They're going out there to try to get that student vote.
And is anybody paying attention to these debates?
Well, actually, no. I believe it was pretty low turnout for the last debate that they had. But you have to realize that the election season is pretty well off, and many students may be turned off by this, you know, sort of extended presidential campaign that's, you know, already in full swing.
So, if they're not interested yet, is the campaign turning them off, or are they just not warming up to it yet?
I think the campaign could be turning them off. Every day we're bombarded with ads on TV, either for Kerry or for Bush, and students. They do, you know, with exams coming up and things like that, they may not be as focused on the campaign, realizing that the election is still months away.
Mm-hmm. And we had a call earlier from a guy in Utah who was happened to be a Democrat and said, well, his vote doesn't matter in that particular state, at least not on the presidential level. Mm-hmm. There in Florida, very much in play. Do you think being in a swing state makes a difference?
Absolutely. I think everybody realizes that this election does matter and that their vote, you know, will matter in this election. I do hear students mention a lot of time about the former incident in 2000 with votes not being counted, but I think for the most part, students probably do think that their votes do count and it does mean something.
Well, the students' vote is a little hard to count sometimes because these students are from all over the state of Florida. Most of them don't vote in Gainesville.
Yes, that's true. And the thing also, another problem with students is that students usually go to another part of the state or another state in order to attend school, so they're usually not registered in the place, you know, that they're in the place that they're living. So that sort of helps, I think, to depress some of the student vote in those areas. And there's been a big move to get students registered in their school town so they'll be able to vote when the election comes up.
Dwayne Robinson, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Dwayne Robinson, a junior at the University of Florida in Gainesville, and he reports on politics for the Independent Florida Alligator. He was with us from the paper's office in Gainesville, Florida. And Secretary Glickman, it was interesting that he raised one issue that hadn't come up, might have been local to Florida, but there's an awful lot of states with budget crunches and tuitions are going up in a lot of places.
There's no question that's an issue, and both parties would look at this whole issue of costs of college education as something to try to come up with a national platform. I do want to comment on something he said, which is very important. A lot of schools do a very good job of registering their students. Most colleges do not, however. In 1998, the Congress passed a federal law which requires all universities which get federal funds to facilitate voter registration. I know at Harvard what we do during the actual registration of classes. The Institute of Politics goes in and almost acts as a bottleneck sometimes as the students go through the registration, the photo process, that they have to kind of go through this line and where all the people are clamoring for them to register to vote. And that way we get almost 90% of college freshmen registering or making sure that they're registered. All colleges in the country are required to do similar things. Obviously, they have to do it in good taste. And one of the things we're trying to do is to make sure that colleges and universities know what their responsibilities are under the law to facilitate voter registration, to help students deal with the absentee ballot process, to work with secretaries of state around the country to actually help them actually do the voting process.
Let's get another caller in. Andy's with us on the line from Minneapolis.
Hi there.
Hi there.
I go to the University of Minnesota on the Twin Cities campus, and what I'm seeing on my campus is a mobilization of Republican students going out there trying to get people to come over to the Republican side. In Minnesota here, we had an opportunity to elect a third-party candidate, Jesse Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was in office, he would vote down they would try to get things passed through university for budget and more budget and more budget, and he would cut these things down, saying, you know, you don't need these huge budget increases every year. And I think that they're using that as a tool to say, you know, hey, let's go with the Republicans. Their track record is they're going to kind of give us whatever we want, and your tuition will not increase as much.
Hmm.
And for me, that was kind of I stay abreast on politics, and I know that wasn't true, you know, so they would come up to me, and I'd try and set them straight. But I think that's what I'm seeing is, because Minnesota has always been kind of a Democratic state, but I feel it's kind of a swing state this election.
I think there's a lot of people who agree with you, Andy.
Yeah, what we're seeing here in Minnesota is there's a lot of, mayors, and the governor now is Republican, so it's kind of switching over, which was kind of a shock to me. I'm 23 years old, and I've been active in politics since I was 18 years old. My parents are Republican. I'm a Democrat. I identify with the Democratic Party. But so we kind of go head-to-head with my parents, you know.
Well, Secretary Glickman, you may want to tell Andy that the one thing that's permanent in politics is change.
Well, I'm glad that you're an independent thinker, is all I can say. The one thing I would tell you, one of the disturbing trends is that we have a professor at the Kennedy School, David King, who's done some research, and he's told us that we now are living in a country where at least at half the households, the parents, the kids are living in households that parents have not voted in. That is, we have created kind of a culture in our society of an awful lot of people just not voting. And one of the things we found is if we get kids interested, students interested in the political process, either the right or the left, Democrat, Republican, or independent for that matter, it is a pretty good incentive to maybe get one or both their parents back in the process as well.
Mm-hmm. Andy, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's talk now with Adam, and Adam's in Norman, Oklahoma.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air, Adam.
Hi, just a couple comments. I guess one, I'm a senior at the University of Oklahoma, try to stay informed. I don't have a TV, get my news from the radio and newspapers. And I guess my kind of qualm was yesterday there were the polls were open to vote on local issues, and I had no idea that they were open. I didn't know what the issues were, and I guess the people that I communicate with, we try to stay informed, and we'd like to believe that, you know, we can talk, with a high level of education about current issues and whatnot, but it just seemed like a disappointment that I wasn't able to attend, you know, and cast my vote for these local issues. So that's not really on a partisan level, but more just a, in general, voter turnout issue.
Mm-hmm.
Here. I guess another comment, from what I've seen, being on campus pretty much all day, the same thing I saw 4 years ago, the independents come out and really try to get you to, like, to get Nader on the ballot. That's the big thing. And it's like a big – that's like the only group of people that I've seen come out and try to actually influence my opinion.
Okay, Adam, thanks very much.
If I just may comment on that, I think he raises a good point, but I think you may be seeing a shift this time – from television persuasion of younger people to more grassroots mobilization. You know, a lot of young people are turned off by these nasty, hostile, negative political spots that aren't really relevant to them at all because they're new in the political system. And the parties would be well advised to try to mobilize young people through more traditional habits, grassroots mobilization, door-to-door, that kind of activity. And in doing so, I think you're going to build a longer and deeper connections into the political system.
Let's turn now to another campus in a battleground state, Ohio. John O'Neill is editor-in-chief of the Book Delight, the newspaper at the University of Akron in Ohio, and he joins us by phone from the paper's office. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
How politically active are students in Akron?
I do have to say that here at Akron, it's been proven that it's an apathetic campus. We're a large public school. A lot of people come here mainly for the price and the proximity. And I think unless candidates really break it down to students' levels and say, I can do things for you in education by X, Y, and Z, as opposed to throwing higher education in the mix with things like medical care, the war in Iraq, and the economy, I don't think they're going to get as many voters as they'd like, and especially in a state like Ohio where, you know, the vote really matters.
Well, the presumptive Democratic candidate, John Kerry, was at the University of Akron just a couple of weeks ago. Were a lot of students there at the rally to cheer him on or tackle him or whatever?
I wasn't able to make it to the rally. From the reporter that was there and from the article that he wrote, I've gathered that he packed one of the halls in the student union. There were around 2,000 people there. From what I've heard, it was a lot of people from the community. Of course, because of the proximity, a lot of students were there.
Mm-hmm.
But the strong supporters that we heard of were, believe it or not, the Steelworkers Union members who built the building that Kerry was speaking in. They were there with the signs yelling and chanting for Kerry. I really think that the student turnout there wasn't what he expected.
We're hearing an awful lot this year about swing states and Ohio in particular. Is there any sense of the importance of every vote in Ohio on your campus?
Well, for those who are politically active, and I do say that's a small percent in my eyes from what I've seen in being a journalist here for the last 4 years, I do have to say that to those people who are into politics, they see the importance of their vote. Now, as far as an every vote matters type of situation, I'm not too sure. I think a lot of people are discouraged by the system that is being used with the Electoral College. And to be honest with you, I can't speak on that behalf, but the main majority of students and young people, from what I've seen, just really don't care.
Can I ask you a question, Andy? This is Mr. Glickman.
His name is John, but go
John,
ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, yeah, that's why I didn't respond.
And, go ahead.
The war in Iraq, is there a growing movement at the on the campus that this war may have some greater personal relevance to their lives and therefore it may encourage them to be more engaged either to support the action or to oppose it?
I think unless higher education is something that's hit on very hard by any of the candidates, I think that the war in Iraq will probably be the strongest push or pull to students. Of course, it is something that's pretty much in everybody's mind. It'd be pretty hard to ignore that right now. As far as being as big of an issue here as on other campuses, I highly doubt it, though.
John O'Neill, thanks very much.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
John O'Neill, editor-in-chief of the Book Delight, the campus newspaper at the University of Akron in Ohio. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Secretary Glickman, I wanted to ask you one thing about your poll. You polled people by political personality. Explain that a little bit.
Well, what we do is we try to find out, for example, their views on social issues, belief in God, moral issues, belief, support for gay rights, support or opposition to abortion, all these things, and then we kind of put them together and to determine if they were liberal in a classic way, conservative in a classic way, and we found that the biggest number were in the center. Some were more secular, some were more religious, but by and large, they were not on either extreme, which when it's a very interesting survey because we asked all sorts of questions about their religious beliefs, their economic beliefs, and their social beliefs, and we put it together to try to determine what is the kind of voter that the younger person represents, and therefore, what are they most interested in from the standpoint of issues. And again, the most of them fit this middle, this center kind of situation.
Let's get another caller in with us. Marley is on the line from Berkeley, California.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Marley.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. So here on the Berkeley campus, things are just getting really geared up right now. You see a lot of people out there for different candidates, whether it's Kerry or Bush or LaRouche even. I just definitely wanted to attest that young people here on the Berkeley campus are definitely stepping up the mobilization efforts here.
Berkeley is famous for political efforts of all kinds.
Oh, yes, definitely. But I think more you're really seeing now, people are really getting down to the nitty-gritty of it. It's not black and white like it used to be. I think, you know, things are a lot more complicated now. People are becoming a little bit more educated on both sides. And, you know, there's just different organizations out there that are really fostering debate. For example, Mobilizing America's Youth, which is a new organization here on campus, has really stepped it up and really, like I said, fostering debate, getting people to listen to both sides of the issues.
And if you had to guess, Marley, which side seems to be mobilizing more efficiently in Berkeley, what would you say?
Well, that's a good question, actually, because the Republican group here on campus actually is the largest student group on campus, despite, you know, the connotation of liberal Berkeley. But I don't know. I think the Republicans have a good chance because they really stick together well as a party, and I sort of see the Democrats here on campus shifting and looking more at actual issues as opposed to staying with their party loyalty.
Well, Marley, thanks very much.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Secretary Glickman, before we let you go, I wanted to say we've got 62% of the people who said they were definitely planning to vote this November in your poll of college students. What do we know about the 38% who say they're not going to be voting?
Well, by and large, these are people who are a little lower down on the economic ladder for the most part. They're more in what we call the religious centrists. They tend to have greater religious views, but they are going to be further defined. We're going to continue to do these surveys over the summer to try to delve into who these people are in greater depth, because maybe we can take some of that 38% and move it into the higher category. And I just close by saying that this poll is both an opportunity and a warning to both parties. That is, there's a great opportunity to capture another million and a half votes that weren't captured in 2000 that could go to influence this election and could go to influence some state electoral votes. The other side of the coin is that you ignore these voters at your peril. And if I were both the president and John Kerry, I would look at this poll and realize that in a 50-50 type of election, this is the group of people who can determine who the next president of the United States is.
Secretary Glickman, thanks very much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
Dan Glickman, director of the Institute of Politics at Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government. He was with us from our bureau in Chicago. And by the way, if you want to take a closer look at the Institute survey or try out that political personality test yourself, you can go to www.npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation to connect to the site. When we come back, we'll talk with Bruce Feiler about his visit to Iraq. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.